Reggie ATL coming to you from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia, going out to what I think is San Antonio with Laura. I think I just said we'll start saying Texas here with you, Laura. How's it going?
It's going well. It's San Antonio this weekend, yes.
All right, San Antonio, woman on the move, she is.
Right.
You know, Laura, this has been the AI year here. Now, at the beginning of this year, I started off, I would like, I did like three or four episodes on what I called it the AI takeover. And that was like in January. And that was only after using ChatGPT. I remember talking to you about this. And it was so incredible to me at that time. Like, I was like, this is incredible. It's going to change the world and all that stuff. And fast forward here, 4 or 5 months, roughly six at the time of recording, actually. In AI, I'm seeing a lot of AI stuff. There's been a lot of AI companies. There's a lot of AI. There's people who feel like it's going to take over the world. There's people who feel like it's going to try to take over humanity. There's people who feel like it's going to help humanity. And I'm seeing a lot more AI stuff. And one of the things that's interesting to me is how we feel like AI is going to affect an aging group of people. Now, we know that when we, or at least I should say that from even having a computer store or just living through the internet and the advent of technology becoming so much more important in our lives via smartphones, whatever it may be, that you had slower adoption there for a lot of people. There's a lot of people who kind of get stuck in their ways. And if you think about it, if you're talking to a person that's lived a vast majority of their life without something, whether it is AI, which all of us have lived the vast majority of our lives without because it's so new, at least in the way that it is now, you know, because there's been Alexa and Siri and all that stuff. That's all still AI. So we've had that in our lives for a while. But AI in its generative form and newest form is very new for a lot of people. And I wonder about the adoption here. Now, you personally, how quick are you to adopt new technology? And we've talked about this with the iPhones for you, Laura. and you fought the good fight with that last iPhone that you had. How quick are you to adopt onto new technology and stuff yourself, Laura?
So, believe it or not, Reggie, I really am quick to adopt new technology, right? I think I'm just old enough to where I question things and I'm not going to go blindly into things. With the phone situation, I just felt like Apple was forcing me to upgrade. And so that was my...
Was that your protest?
My hesitance in, it really was my protest. Like, you know, why can't my phone work at this number as opposed to that number? I think that was what I was grappling with. But they won ultimately. And, you know, I gave in. But when it comes to AI, I'm excited. There's an anxiousness, not necessarily anxious in a, just kind of anxious to see the hype, like if it's going to live up to the hype. And if it does, like it could prove to be as amazing as it could be detrimental. So like anything, right?
Correct. And I personally, you know, I'm a tech guy, so I love it. I'm always first adopter. Yeah. I'm running in head first to see what may be on the horizon for people, you know, what may be on the horizon for humanity. And that's where I've been pretty much all my life. So I'm a pretty big early adopter when it comes to a lot of technology. But at the same time, I do understand why some people would not be, especially if you're more on the successful side, right? If you've had success and you have what you want, you live the life you want, you have the house you want, you got the car you want, you got the things in your life that you feel are important are all in order for you, I could see more hesitancy to change anything. And more, you know, the tech's just part of it. But if you're thinking life's been pretty good for me up to this point, why in the world would I move over to something else, you know? Those are your typewriter people days, going over to computers, and there was your people who like, oh, hey, why would I send an email? I've been sending mail for years. You know, those folks who really felt, there was a lot of those people out there too, for people who weren't around when the internet was kind of coming up. There were a lot of people, even with the phones, when the BlackBerry was around and the iPhone got introduced and people were like, that thing doesn't even have a keyboard. It'll never last. You know, that you had those folks out there. So would you, the people around you, do you see them adopting stuff pretty quickly? What has that been like for your experience, or maybe people that you've seen, maybe in your job, friends, family, stuff like that?
So my friends are not so much talking about AI. Like, we're all, you know, in our 50s. We're talking about, our conversations are very different than technology. A lot of, you know, they range the gamut. Most are in education. Mm-hmm. So I think, but they're in, you know, they're principals, assistant principals, and they're really looking to retire. I think we all know that it's coming. I don't think anybody is like scared or anything, even though I've heard some things, you know, that, you know, like I've actually seen some ads where people were talking and it looked like them, sounded like them, you know, for all intents and purposes, if you didn't know any better, you would think it was them. And I think that can be dangerous, but like anything, you know, I think we have to be discerning. I've seen some beautiful pictures, and they haven't quite mastered people yet, I see. Mm-hmm. But I can see where if they did master it, it would definitely, like, what, there's no need for models. They can make beautiful people.
Right,
you know?
Just from, like, typing them up. You could type up a beautiful person. Is,
you really can. And I think the scary thing is, though, you know, having someone, you know, like the president or a dignitary, and you're having them say some things that are not real.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could cause, some problems. But aside from that, I think it's really, it's amazing, actually. It really is amazing. And I think the more that we explore what it, you know, the possibilities. Especially, you know, we've had this, you and I have talked about this often, you know, the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with personalities and you're dealing with, you know, the ups and downs of the market.
For sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then if you can have some artificial intelligence come in here and do some things, then you don't have to deal with, you know, people saying, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. And you're at their mercy. It has the potential of being amazing. But a lot of people my age, I think until we have to, like, that's not a conversation that we have all the time. Like, hey, what do you think about this new AI? We're trying to retire and go live on a beach somewhere, or, you know, kind of worried about some of the political, you know, uneasiness that is happening right now.
Mm-hmm. And that's understandable, because I think that another thing to that too, and that's not just age or person specific, not everybody's just interested, you know, and I feel like if I could, mm-hmm. I may see a lot of it and I might think that maybe 20, 30, 40% of the people really, really care, but maybe that number is too high. Like, I don't know that. Even my conversations, a lot of them aren't about it unless I'm talking to somebody who's really into it, Laura. You know, it's not like I'm having AI conversation with random people throughout the day. So I can kind of definitely see that, because I think a lot of things, Laura, until they affect your actual life, you don't really care about them as much.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, until it has an effect on me personally, I don't really care. I'm kind of trying to handle business in other areas, other facets of my life. Now, we brought up the working situation. I wonder how that does. Does that affect an aging workforce more than it affects like a younger workforce when it comes to people kind of getting out, like, of or not wanting to deal with other human beings? And when you know, AI is going to work 24 hours, 7 days a week, no complaints, no days off, no vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No talk back. And even from an older standpoint, it might not be the person that's actually getting fired. It might be the person doing the firing because of AI. Like, so it could fall both ways, right? It could fall both ways in the sense of, like, well,
right.
If I have an aging demographic, because, you know, the baby boomer demographic right there, right? That's an aging demographic, and that's going to be a massive. Right. I'm not sure if all of them have left the workforce, but it's a good amount of them that are about to, if they have not, mm-hmm. right? And that's massive for just the amount of jobs that are kind of coming out of the workforce as people look to kind of go sit on a beach somewhere or chill and kind of hang out. Then I think maybe you have a situation there where you're not dealing with as much, where you can bring on AI then and kind of blunt the impact of that. You think that's a possibility? If it comes on soon enough anyway?
I think so. And I think the more that we explore like all of the possibilities, the more people will be talking about it, how it's going to affect them. I think the older generation, just like every older generation, you know, you look at things differently. You may not want your food served to you by, you know, automation.
Yeah.
You know, but you have a younger generation that is so accustomed to that, that they're going to, you know, you have little bitty kids now and they know what to do with phones. Because that's what they were brought up on. Like they know automatically, right? But an older generation still is going to want that human touch, that human interaction. But eventually those people will die off, and you have this whole generation that is, you know, very accustomed to robots and automation and no one human doing different things, whether it's banking or medicine or grocery stores or, you know what I'm saying? And people are, you know, we fall in line with things. We kick and scream, but eventually you learn to adapt to whatever is out there and whatever, you know, is present. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How has that been for you? How was that? Because you said it's your person that you're not necessarily adverse to technology, because you know some people are completely have more of a hostile take on it as in technology in general, like machines are taking over the world and stuff like that, you know. How has that been for you, just having, have you always been like, just I'm just gonna roll with the punches and whatever comes kind of comes?
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, I can remember them making us wear seatbelts. I can remember a time when you did not have to wear a seatbelt. And I remember when they said, you're going to have to wear a seatbelt. And I remember specifically, and I'm embarrassed to say this, I remember saying, it's going to wrinkle my clothes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, forget this safety. Yeah, I can't show up like this.
right. If I have a wreck, you know, imagine that. But you do it, you know, and then, you know, of course, now we know why. But then you think about Walmart and how, you know, little by little, you saw less cashiers.
Yeah, man.
And now the self-checkout is huge. Like, it's the area is huge now in Walmart. And no one seems to be there. Every now and then, you know, you'll see somebody that just has to go through the line. Like, I mean, I don't know.
When's the last time you've been through the line at Walmart yourself? Like, had to go to a person?
I went the other day. I had to get some things for my job. And so I had to go through the line because we're a nonprofit and I use a nonprofit card, so we don't pay taxes. So I had to go through the line. And it was different. I was waiting.
Yes.
And
it's a nightmare. You know, it's a nightmare now, Laura. I'm sorry. I would never.
No.
I would never go. I would never go to Walmart if I had to go to the line every time. Remember old school Walmart when people hated going in there because of that reason, like the lines being so long that you avoided it altogether. And that self-checkout has changed my experience at Walmart. I mean, personally, tell you that.
It's changed everyone. And imagine, so you've got six self-checkouts. I'm thinking of the grocery store. And you've got, now you just pay one person to watch everyone instead of paying six people to check people out.
Yeah.
So imagine for a grocery store, like, that's heaven.
For sure. For sure. Win-win all the way around to me.
Wait staff. Mm-hmm. And I think about my industry, like if it will affect my industry, I work with people, you know, people with disabilities. as a matter of fact. And so I think the human aspect is very important, especially for people with disabilities. Like, they need to feel that touch and see a smile and things like that. And so I wonder, though, I mean, definitely, you know, one of the things that we do is give meds. And it's not always an easy thing for somebody who's making $10, $11 an hour. They forget, or they get the wrong med, which is extremely huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a life or death situation. A machine is not going to make as many mistakes. And I would take a machine any day to give meds to my clients as opposed to a person who's distracted or who's not in a good mood or who is forgetful or whatever, you know, on medicine. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's going to be like for professional, you know, for businesses, for people personally, for everything. I hope I get to see, and I'm pretty sure at the, you know, the way things are moving, that it's not going to take long for me to see. God willing, I'll be here. It's not going to take me long to see just what can be done with AI.
Yeah, I'm thinking here in the next year, the next 2 years, because you can think about how much more it's done in less than a year. So it's before me, I'm just looking at ChatGPT, and even the different iterations of ChatGPT from each other are way different, way better than they are from each other. So if you think about all the learning that it's doing on every single day because of just people know asking it questions or using it on a daily basis, making it smarter, then you have a situation that it's going to be so different year to year, Laura. Like, it's going to be so much better a year from now. And then it's going to be so much better a year from that. That I think the possibilities are endless. It's definitely one of the largest things. I couldn't harp on it. I think I've done at least 10, 15 shows on it just this year. Because it's so amazing. I don't feel like a lot of times, Laura, that we come across technology like this that is going to change how people do everything. And people are using it to write their dating profiles, and they're getting a lot more pull than they were when they were writing their own. So that's one of some of the stuff I'm seeing.
But then what happens when you write this amazing dating profile and then someone's dating you and they're like, what happened to this witty person? What happened to this intelligent person that I thought I was going to get? Or this, you know, you know what I'm saying? At some point,
you like, say at some point you have to show up.
At
basically
some
what
point,
you're saying.
It's going to catch up with you. Yeah. You do. Yeah.
I do, Laura. But you know what's funny is as you were saying that, I feel like that's what's happening to people anyway. Like, people are already feeling like that, whether it's you taking creative angles with your photos, you saying, hey, you lying about your height, I'm throwing a couple extra inches on there, making sure, you know, she hits me back, and then I got to show up to the date and hope she loves me. There's a lot of that stuff that was already going on to a certain degree, even without AI.
This is true.
That I feel like it'll be perpetuated or be true. Much this more of true. The same. You know what I mean? It'll be the same, like, or, you know, it even, because we're talking about the dating aspect, right? Let's talk about the resume aspect, because a lot of people are using it to write their resumes. Mm-hmm. Same situation. You're a rock star on your resume, right? You're a rock star in that interview. You get the person starts working for you, and they're just average or maybe a little below in some areas and leaving you wanting that same person that you interviewed or that same resume that you read that was so amazing. So I do feel like that there's going to probably perpetuate more of that stuff. You know what I mean? It's definitely, I don't think any of that stuff gets made better by AI. I think definitely AI is going to make you sound like more of a rock star. It's just imagine, and then the person still does have to show up and actually do the job, or actually show up and, you know, at the date and actually be that person. You know what I mean? But I do think it can help from, like, if you're just not good at writing profiles, if you're just not good at writing resumes and stuff like that, maybe it can help you in that way. But I do think that you are going to have to actually have the experience. Now, what do you think about because I think the biggest negative, in my opinion, is just going to be the repercussion for jobs. I think is the biggest negative that's going to come with that. If you don't have a job that is a that calls for you to actually be there. Like, let's say I can't have an AI roofer, right? An AI plumber, an AI person come through and like do my drywall. You know what I mean? I think those jobs may be a little bit safer. Yeah. Because you're going to need a human being to come and do it. Maybe they have AI to help run their business, but still they're going to have to show up and do the actual labor. So I think that those jobs are a lot safer than a lot of, like, let's say that you're a lawyer and all you do is work on contracts all day, or you're an accountant. I think AI can come for your job. I think it can, because it could probably do your job a lot quicker than you can do it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. And I certainly think that AI could do a better job than SCOTUS. So
you're going to have like nine AI judges. You had to get that one in there, didn't you?
I had to get that in there. I mean, AI couldn't do any worse. But I definitely think that there are going to be some jobs that, you know, I mean, but that has happened throughout time, Reggie, and the cotton gin, you know.
Yeah, man, there's always been something, right?
Sewing machine
that comes and disrupts things.
Yeah, there's always, and it does for a while. Like you think about auto plants, you know, and you look at cities like Detroit that are now ghost towns, right? Because these machines, you know, did away with their jobs. But, and so while the machines are amazing, and you ask any car, you know, company or whatever, you know, was this great? Yeah, this technology was amazing. But then you ask the workers, and they're like, yeah, I lost my job. I lost my house. We had to move. And so I think those are the pitfalls. Those are the great things and the very worst things that come with evolving, and that come with anything, not just AI. AI just happens to be the big thing, right? We haven't had like this huge thing in a while. And so every now and then, every once in a while, our society comes up with this, you know, whether it's the car that puts the horse and buggy out of commission. Well, and so somebody loses and somebody wins big, and society wins big, but there's always some, what do you call it? What's the word that I'm looking for there? You know, these are some of the pitfalls that happen when
collateral damage
and when, you know, technology. Collateral damage. Thank you. That's collateral damage. And yes, you're going to have a lot of collateral damage with AI. But when you think about, you know, what it can do, you know, hopefully I'm thinking that the pros outweigh the cons. But we'll see, right?
Would you use AI to write your dating profile, Laura? Then you don't have to think about it. You can just throw a couple of few pictures up there, Laura. Throw some pictures up there. Let AI do the rest. You can just wait for the men to come in there. Less time spent. You get the same situation. Yeah. I remember remember a while back ago, Laura, when we were talking about the Facebook situation, you were like, man, I don't know if you were on there even 5 days, Laura. You're like, this is too overwhelming. You said you were getting
Right. It was too much. So imagine an AI profile.
Man, they'd be rolling in, Laura. Rolling in.
Right. Yeah. Sure. I'd use it to do whatever, as long as it didn't hurt anyone. I don't want to be deceitful, but, you know, I mean, and then what, how do you do the AI profile? Like, do you tell them, do they ask these questions? Like, okay, what's your age, what do you like? And then based off of those answers, they write something, or do they just write something not knowing who you are, and it could be totally not representative of who you are?
I feel like it would have to be some questions, right? Like there would have to be some kind of like prompt or something. Otherwise, it can write the same profile for every human being. Like, it wouldn't even have to like have any deviation. If it's just writing you a human woman profile, like that's very vague. Like, I feel like you would have to like narrow it down to something, right? Like, so I feel like maybe because I haven't used it, maybe I should just go through that. Do that on a show one day. I'm just gonna do that on a show. And just create an AI profile and just see what happens. See what happens there, because it's interesting.
And just see what happens.
Yeah, because I don't really know, because I've been out of the dating game for a while, so I don't know exactly what that would be. But I do know that I would have used it to save me the time. Absolutely. Like, if I could save time on that, and I could just now just vet people that kind of like, you know, because it's different for guys and girls. Like, I feel like for a lot of women, they're gonna be inundated no matter what they do. With just a lot of dudes. So they're going to be inundated with a lot of guys who are just hitting them up, versus like a lot of guys, you got to go more like, you got to be more aggressive or more assertive, I should say, not really aggressive, but you got to be more assertive. Like, you got to go after women more so. Because, I mean, I looked at a friend of mine who's, her profile had like a ton of just random dudes in it, and she wasn't even trying hard, you know, and it had a ton of dudes in there. So I'm like, they don't have time. I don't feel like a lot of women have time to do it, to sit there and just reach out to dudes all the time, even though I do respect that more. But why would you, if you got like 100 dudes in your inbox already? Like, well, you could just spend all your time just going through your inbox, you know? So I think that it would have to have some kind of prompts for what you like, what your interests are, right? Because even if it's going to be like a matching, and a lot of these companies are on top of that. They might be using AI to even do the matches. So you have AI that you might use to build your profile. The company itself might be using AI to kind of do like a matchmaking type situation. You know what I mean? So you got AI all over the place.
Well, I was just going to say that. Like, why can't AI find my person too? Like, if you're so intelligent, find you know what I like. So find my person for me.
Yo, Laura, I think that's possible.
I'm for it.
Laura, I think that's absolutely possible, right? Because think about it like this, Laura. If AI can replace like somebody writing some lawyer writing up some massive contract for some company, right? And if AI can do that in seconds, then it should be able to look at some matchmaking possibilities, in my opinion. Like, I don't see why it wouldn't be like, it's intelligent enough to do that first thing, but not intelligent enough to do that second thing. Of course, the people have to meet, right? So the course that people have to meet, actually like each other, actually be able to gel, have conversation, all that stuff still, of course. You would definitely need all that. And that AI can't do that part. But AI, can AI give me like 10 suitors who are my type? Why not? Why not? Why can't I get a small group of people?
That, I think, would be great.
Matchmaking situation, right? Like an AI
because that
matchmaker.
Really is the most difficult part. It really is. I mean, you're looking through that. That was the most difficult part for me, looking through everything and saying, okay, am I making the right choice? Like, how do I know that, you know what I'm saying? That really was the difficult part. It's not difficult to put your profile and put those things. It's difficult to say, gosh, you know, I don't want to base it on how he looks, or he looks like he doesn't, like he's not spontaneous, but he really may be. So yeah, that would be awesome. Really awesome.
I think a lot of companies, I could see that all day, Laura. Yes, I could see it, man. And some companies may already be doing that, but I can, why not? Why not? What all the other stuff is doing, it's like passing, the AI is passing the bar, it's passing like physician test. Why could it not be a matchmaker? Like, it seems like from an intelligence standpoint, that's lower on the scale than like going and passing the bar or doing some of that other stuff that AI's already been doing. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Maybe somebody's already.
And why not
that.
Candidates? Like, yeah. Like, I'm interviewing for a receptionist. And I'm like, how do I know I'm picking the right person? Like, they're all amazing. I could get AI to like do the random, you know, what is really needed and how are they going to fit into the culture and will they, you know, do they have what it takes to, that would be awesome.
Yeah, because I think that you can do that really as like a filter, right? Like, if nothing else, filter out applicants for me. Just filter out some applicants for me, see who's best from a statistical standpoint, fits what I'm looking for. And then, you know what? I feel like that's what a lot of the legwork the AI is going to do. that's a lot of the legwork AI is going to do for you. It'll have, like, if I don't have to, like, a lot of times if you're looking for, let's just say something as simple as this podcast, and I want to look at some hashtags for this podcast, like, what are the best hashtags? I can just literally type into AI and have it pop them out. I don't have to try to do a ton of research. I don't need to go now into researching podcasts, or you don't have to now hope that you can just put in a few things about your company culture, what you're looking for, a few prompts for the kind of specific person that you're looking for, and then maybe get some suggestions on the best way to go about that hiring process and cut some time out of the processes, which I think ultimately AI would do. I think AI, the biggest thing it would do for humanity, in my opinion, is give it back some time in its everyday, doing its everyday.
Yeah.
Day, you know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be awesome? But also think about it this way, Reggie. What if AI, you know, you used AI to get all of your podcast people, and what if they just like totally skipped over me? Like, you see what I'm saying? You would have totally missed out on me.
It's a possibility, and right? That's a collateral damage, right? That's a collateral damage that could be. What were you going to say? Finish that statement.
That's it.
You
I was just going to say, you know, sometimes it really is important to have that human touch. Like, sometimes, you know, you really need that. But I could definitely see how it would aid. Absolutely.
I agree with that, because I was going to say that's the same situation, kind of going back to if we're doing the dating situation. But isn't that in general, though? Because let's think about it like this, Laura. We were just talking about the situation with the receptionist, right? You're already thinking that without AI, you're thinking that already, right? We're all kind of like a human condition, all kind of second guess ourselves to a certain degree when we make certain decisions, right? Like, we're already thinking of like, well, if I'm dating this person, the person I'm supposed to be spending the rest of my life with, I'm just have less time with that person. They're just out there somewhere. And, I'm here. That dream job that I want, it's out there somewhere, but I'm working this other job. You know, like, I feel like we would always second guess ourselves as to like what it could miss out on, like, or what we could be missing out on even as we make our own decisions. Right.
This is true. Yes.
And maybe have more answers to this here down the line, because I know this is not our last AI show. We will do some more AI shows. Definitely appreciate you taking some time out here, as always, Laura.
Absolutely. It is always a pleasure, Reggie.
This is Reg and ATL. Check us out. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. See you next time.